Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Happy New Year.
I was going to say it. never start.
It's a new year. I'm starting.
Are you going to start the podcast from now on this year, 2024?
Just this episode.
No, every episode.
Okay.
Let's change everything up in 2024. You have to do the Twitter handle at the end, and you have to remember to ask people to do it.
And you have to play Daryl.
Yes. Yes. Well, what do you mean? I mean, play with Daryl.
Right, right. Like he's going to stay at your house instead of mine.
Right, right. All right. Where is Daryl?
Daryl?
Yeah?
I guess he's over by your pool.
I can't even do it.
Neither can I.
Yeah. All right. Well, Happy New Year, my friend.
And to you. And to all our listeners.
That's right. It's been a few days. We decided to delay it a little bit because of the new year and because Indiana has a huge game that we are going to watch tonight as part of the podcast, kind of.
Yeah, we're not going to make you listen to us watch the game. One, that's going to be too many expletives, even for us.
Yeah.
Two, you have watched the game. You're going to know what's happened. But you're listening to us now when we don't know what happened. And then you're going to listen to us afterwards when we know what you know while you're listening right now, which is what happened in this game.
That was a good explanation. Albeit confusion.
Well, you were tapping on the computer, so I thought while I was saying it, you had forgotten to hit record.
No, I hit record. I was just hitting the do not disturb.
Classy.
So, yeah, everybody out there knows something we don't right now.
Right.
And we're happy right now.
Yeah, we're in a good mood. It's January. It's a new year. Our team should be at full health. We've been shooting the basketball well, albeit against lesser competition. The sky's the limit in early January, January 3rd, 2024.
And because it's 2024 and we're doing everything different and swapping roles and swapping wives.
Finally.
God damn it. You have to do the lead in to our next piece of business.
Well, our next piece of business is, as always,
you have to say we are.
And
then I say powered by.
Yeah, I led you into powered by. That would have worked.
You said our next piece of business is that doesn't lead into powered by. Our next piece of business is powered by.
Yeah.
Oh, it does.
But as always, we are
powered by. Communitycards.com.
Sponsor of the pod, Hoosier Legends,
talk with Ward and Eric. And fade out. Oh, I love it. I love it. Fade
out. Why are you using that voice? Really busted my balls. I have a story about community cars.
Oh, please share.
New Year's Eve, a couple down the street, neighbors, where they have kids that are friends with my kids, they came over. This dude follows us at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics.
No E.
No I.
But the sometimes what?
And he told me how he was looking for a new car.
Okay.
I'm like, what happened? What happened to your old car? He's like, I totaled it. And I'm like, oh, no, what happened? And he told me the story. And then I'm like, well, have you found a car yet? And he said, no. And I said, what are you looking for? And he told me, I go, look, let me just connect you with Community Cars. They'll deliver the car to you out here in Los Angeles. He's like, what?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, they will do it. And if you buy one, they give you a second one free.
And, BOGO, 2024 BOGO special.
But he's like, all right. He goes, actually, I'm looking for two cars.
What?
I go, why are you looking for two cars? He said, because I totaled my first car. So I started driving the old car that we were going to give to my daughter who had just turned 16. And I totaled that car. He totaled two cars within like 9 days.
This could be a great customer for Evan.
He could retire on just it. So I said, what kind of cars do you want? And he laid out the parameters for each, and they're different cars. You know, for him, a little bit bigger, a little bit nicer of a car, a little newer of a car, used cars. He wanted two used cars. And for his daughter, he wanted like a Honda Accord, you know.
Safe, reliable, but not schnazzy.
Yeah, and like 5 years old or whatever.
Sure.
You know. So I called up Community Cars. I called up our friends, and I said, hey, here are the parameters. Within seconds, they got back to me. They're like, we got it. We'll hook your friend up with something. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, yeah, we'll find the right car anywhere in the country. We'll get it, and then we'll ship it to them. No problem. We'll send them all the paperwork. Connected the dots. The guy's bought two cars. I should be a used car salesman.
Well, if nothing else, it means we're going to be sponsored for 2024.
Yeah, but now I realize, Ward, Evan and Community Cars have won this deal.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
No, it's not. I want commission on cars sold instead of our sponsorship deal.
Okay. If I'm not involved in any way, shape, or form, like this scenario, do I get a piece of what you get?
You're right. Let's stick to the sponsorship. So my point is, though, and this is the point with Community Cars, this guy had two very different needs, both used cars, both different kinds of cars, both different budget items, budget lines for both cars. And Community Cars is like, yeah, we got it. It doesn't matter if you want a luxury brand new car, if you want a giant SUV, if you want a compact safe car with some, you know, some miles on it.
What if I want a 1969 Camaro Supersport with the 350?
Chances are Evan's got one of those in the warehouse.
Okay, that's true. I'd have to go to the warehouse.
Yeah. So anyway, communitycars.com, kicking off 2024, is our sponsor and partner again, and we love them. And if you're going to buy a car, no matter what level you're looking at, they got you settled. So it is the new year.
Which means I will open up this new segment, which is an old segment. It's a recurring segment.
An annual segment, if you will.
An annual segment. Yeah, that's right. We're going to make some New Year's resolutions. It's what we do as Indiana basketball fans on behalf of our program, of our team.
Yeah, not just Indiana basketball. Could be New Year's resolutions for any team at Indiana.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Is that a surprise to you?
Yeah. I'm so focused, laser focused on it being basketball season. But immediately I was like, ooh, goody. Football's into the mix.
Well, but obviously, why don't you, your mind was set for basketball. Why don't you kick us off with the first resolution that you would like to make as it pertains to IU men's basketball?
My first resolution as it pertains to IU men's basketball, which I alluded to earlier.
We're just repeating each other.
Is these gentlemen can shoot the basketball. Clearly, they grew up shooting the basketball. In practice, they shoot the basketball. And in the last two games, they have shot the basketball very well. These gentlemen are physically able to do it. And my New Year's resolution to them, my gift to them, is the gift of confidence that they have gained during the holiday season to now go out into the Big Ten and continue to shoot the three ball at a high clip, both in quantity and in quality. And look, I'm not expecting this to all of a sudden be, you know, the Golden State Warriors circuit 2013. I'm just saying, we get ourselves to be a good average three-point shooting team, and a lot of teams are going to be scared to come to Bloomington or to have Bloomington come to them.
I love that as you're saying that, everybody in the audience knows if we shot the three ball well tonight, and it's either like, you moron, or they think that you were prescient.
Yeah.
Best word use on our podcast so far this year.
Prescient. Yes. Very good. Thank you. Very good.
All right. My New Year's resolution is a personal one as it relates to the basketball team, but it kind of counters a little bit of your resolution.
Bring it over.
Look, this has been a tumultuous, weird first 13 games of the year.
It has been weird.
You know, we had high expectations, a lot of new talent, with specifically Khalil and McKenzie. And, you know, the performances that we saw against UConn and Auburn were awful. Kansas feels like we lost an opportunity there. And I've been very critical of what you talked about, the shooting, the style. And I don't want to feel this angst anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So here is what I'm going to try to do in 2024.
Completely change who you are as a human being.
Yep. Yep. I am going to try to focus on what the 2024 Indiana Hoosiers are and not what I wanted them to be before the year started. And let me explain. When we recruited McKenzie and Bacco, I thought, oh my God, we've got a 40% three-point shooter that's going to shoot 6-7 threes a game. CJ Gunn is going to take a huge leap forward and be that shooter that we heard he was in Indianapolis in high school. Trey Galloway is going to go from 47% last year to shooting higher volume and maybe around 37, 38% this year. Xavier, around 40% last year, is going to be a high-volume 40% shooter. Khalil is going to be a 35 to 40% shooter. I had it in my head that all these guys were going to be amazing three-point shooters, and we were going to be a three-point shooting team. The first 13 games of the season as a whole have showed we are not. That look what you said. We're not the Warriors circa 2015 or whatever it was. But what we are is we are 10-3. We do have Malik Renew, who is dominating down low right now.
Yes.
McKenzie Mbako is averaging double digits now. And over the last many games is shooting like, you know, hitting like 13, 14 points a game, mostly from like around the bucket, free throws where he's only missed one free throw on the year, I believe.
Which is crazy.
Getting to the rim, offensive rebounds. Khalil, who had a couple threes at the beginning of the year, but shot mostly around the rim. Trey Galloway, who struggled for a while, but now we see like he's not a great three-point shooter, but getting to the hole and finishing and getting to the free throw needs to shoot better free throws, obviously. Anthony Walker, who's been awesome coming off the bench, not a three-point shooter, no, but a slasher, that little jump hook, one-handed push shot. That's what we're good at. And rather than constantly bemoan what I wish we were, but we are not, I'm going to try to focus on, you know what? Maybe Woody is right. Maybe he sees CJ didn't take the step forward in his shot. Trey Galloway isn't shooting like we thought he would. Xavier injured. Gabe Cupps can't rely on right now for outside shooting. McKenzie Mbako can't find the stroke. Malik Renew's our best three-point shooter right now. And maybe because we aren't that good, do you really want to shoot 23-pointers a game at 25%?
Right. No.
No, we'd rather shoot, get to the free throw line, shoot over 70%
yeah,
if we can, and shoot high percentage of twos around the rim. So I'm going to do, it is my resolution to do everything I can to just focus on what we are and hope that that's good enough to go on a run, compete in the Big Ten, win enough games, and make the NCAA tournament. That's my resolution. But I'm going to try to stop bemoaning, why don't we shoot 23s? Why aren't we shooting 45% as a team? If we have great shooting nights, I'm going to be so happy. But I'm not going to expect it going in, and I'm not going to cry for it all the time. I'm overdoing that. It's too angsty for me, And I want to move on and just focus on what we do well. And we do have a guy in Malik Renew who the last several games is playing at an All-American level. I want to focus on that.
Never going to happen. No, I like that take. I like that take. I don't think it really counters my own take in terms of, like, I'm not expecting us to be known for our three-point shooting, but just that it's enough of a threat, enough of a weapon. It's consistent enough that if a team does come in, and look, we're going up against the Nebraska team, that very high volume, pretty good percentage. You know, I just don't want to be run out of the gym because we can't hit a few. That being said, no matter what happens, especially if Bailey's humping your leg,
yep,
let's make sure we've got
everybody that. Sees it. There you see it.
This is why you subscribe to Pigs, is to see Eric's dogs making sweet love in the new year to his shin. Wow, that is a big dog. I mean, if she wants it, you just kind of have to give it to
you
her.
You got to just, you got to, you know, you got to do that report. You got to sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah. Rest in peace, coach.
All right. Wait. Oh, sorry. So,
but I got to, now I got to give another resolution, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Again, it's for the team.
You're doing basketball again?
I'm doing basketball again because I kind of came in with two for basketball.
Okay, cool.
And for basketball, again, for the team, not focusing on my own approach to the team, maybe that comes later, is move. Just move, fellas. I as a completely untalented athlete, have it fully within my power at any age in my life to move. Not well, not with agility or speed, but you can always move. And I feel like you're playing against other college teams, not particularly good ones in the Big Ten this year. And you've got so much talent, boys, more than almost every other team you're going to go up against in the conference. If you're moving, if you're looking for each other and you're moving without the ball, good things are going to happen inside or out. And look, I'm not sure exactly what's being preached in practices or even generally, but I guarantee if these guys just don't stand around and watch the ball, they're all going to have good opportunities to do what they do well. And if they're out on the court, there's something they can do. The coaches have seen it both in practice and in games at this point. Anthony Walker is a great example. Took a few games for him and the teammates to figure out what he does and how he can do it with this lineup. And look, X coming back in. I'm wildly curious how that's going to affect the little flow our offense does have, but I hope it helps it. I hope it.
It's got to help.
We push it up the court more, and that these guys, if they're moving, they're going to get their shots, whatever their shots are.
Yeah, look, X is the best playmaker we have on the team. Gabe has filled in admirably, and I can't expect Xavier to come in right off the bat either and play 30 minutes a game. You know, I mean, they're going to have to work him back in.
Right, but Gabe's a facilitator. X is an instigator.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call Gabe a facilitator right now. I would call Gabe
a manager.
A manager.
Fair. That's, you know, fair.
But yes, your point about X being an instigator forcing. Okay, my last basketball resolution is simple. And it's more of a prayer than it is a resolution. But I'm going to put it in the form of a resolution. I would like to make the resolution that especially Xavier Johnson is just healthy for the rest of the year. This guy has been in college since the Carter administration.
Yeah.
And he deserves his last 4 months of basketball in the college level to be healthy so that he can show what he can do to help lead this team to whatever ceiling it has and then set himself up for a future, hopefully playing basketball professionally somewhere. He came back after just a tragic, you know, break in his foot last year. He's missed a whole bunch of games already this year. I just want the guy to be healthy. We like X. He's had ups and downs. I just want the guy to have a good end to his collegiate career. And I am hoping that it looks like it did at the end of his first year in Indiana. Because if it does, then this team can be dangerous.
Well, and this is where we're at. It's early January. We know in Coach Woodson's first two seasons, it was tumultuous, to use your word, early on, and things tended to find a little bit more of a groove as January wore on and we got into February, and we all know what happened in March in the Big Ten run. And we've all got to just hope for that. And I do think there's enough time for X to get his wind back, his legs back, his feel back, especially with a lot of what are still very new teammates for him. And you know, I'll go ahead and just piggyback off of your personal resolution. Mine is to try to be patient. And I know 13 games in, that seems kind of silly to say, but there's still a month, 6 weeks left for this team to figure out who they really are. And with the Big Ten being relatively weak, hopefully we can win quite a few of these games, even if it's a little uglier or closer than we want them to be, to get into a position 6 weeks from now where they've really figured out who they are, who each other are, and can give us some real excitement going into March.
All right, I'm going to move on to a different sport, football.
Very well.
I am going to make a resolution to give Coach Cignetti this year. Just this year, though. Because, I mean, with NIL and the transfer portal and the way things work in recruiting in football, where you basically recruit a guy up until halftime of his first game, and then he can leave and come play for you. That's how it works in football, I guess. We're bringing in, I was looking at the math the other day. I think it's something like, when it's all said and done, there's 85 scholarships on a Division I team. We will have, I believe, around 30 to 35 new players next year.
I heard 35 recently.
Okay, so 35. And he's still recruiting, and there could be some more. There's more transfers. There's more portal stuff happening.
We'll probably get some of these guys who are playing in the Final Four right now.
Probably. And remember, spring. Because what happens a lot is there is a wave of people who see what their position is like and how they're liking it after spring football and get the hell out then.
Right.
So we could lose some people. We could lose some veterans that have been there for a little bit that they kept. We could lose some of those guys who are like, this Cignetti is not for me, Cignetti, and pick up some new guys. So he is like 40% new team for a program that has been on a downward trajectory for 3 years, for the better part of 3 years. Not going to tell anybody else what to do, but I am going to give him this year. Now, I still think this team can make a bowl because of the schedule. And we weren't far away from a bowl last year. Do you realize Minnesota was in a bowl this year? They won 5 games?
Yeah, I don't know why that happened, though.
Because there's too many fucking bowl games. They got Pop-Tarts jumping out of a secret thing. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
The Pop-Tart Bowl.
That one's one of the more appetizing bowls out there.
Yeah, but I think it was either the Pop-Tart Citrus Bowl or the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, which I think is hilarious because citrus is pretty healthy.
Yeah, Cheez-Its are not.
And neither are Pop-Tarts. But the Pop-Tart Bowl, they had this mascot Pop-Tart like dancing on the field. They made a big reveal. Anyway, too many bowl games. But he can make a bowl in year one. But even if he doesn't, I just want to give him the year. I want to get excited for every game. I want to see progress as the year goes on. I want to see some of these young guys that he's going to be playing. Although the truth is, I don't think he's playing a lot of young guys. He's got a ton of transfers that he's going to play.
That have, and again, his rule with the transfers is guys who have been productive. Guys
like the Ohio quarterback.
Been available. Yeah, like that Ohio quarterback has already had a great collegiate career, and now he's going to come bring all that experience to the big time.
I just want to see better football. And more importantly, I want to see better management of the game. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, I do. I want to see what he's trying to do.
Yes.
They may not be able to do it this year, but I think because you wanted me to bring up the Colts, per usual, who have a first-year head coach,
And a backup quarterback.
And a backup quarterback, you know, and the whole scheme, everything he was building around was a guy who was an athletic freak and not Gardner Minshew.
Who's just a freak.
Who's just a freak in the best way.
Yeah.
But you can see what he's trying to do and what the potential is when he gets those pieces in place or those pieces coached up to truly understand what he's trying to do. So keep in mind, like, even all the new guys coming back, it's going to be new verbiage. It's going to be new schemes. Everything about it's going to be new to those guys too.
Well, except for half the team that played at James Madison last year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many of them played for him or were just coming to play for him?
I think we have like 10 transfers that played for
him on the team. See, that's great.
And then I think there's a handful of recruits who were going to go play.
That's going to help that learning curve. But regardless, I will join you in your vow to give him the year.
We're going to resolve to give him a year, but want to see what he's building and some signs of what's to come. And did you hear him, his little insult of our offense from last year?
No.
In his press conference, one of them, he said, like, almost with disgust in his voice, he's like, look, we're going to be a little bit more complex. He's like, last year was a little fundamental. I think that's the word he used. So, like, I do want to see some wrinkles and some aggressive play.
Yes.
And I just want to see better management.
But let's discuss what giving him a year means. I think that means, certainly publicly, on this format, any other format we might have publicly, is to not get really negative.
Yeah, shit on the program.
No matter how, like, bad it gets. That it is like,
we give him a year.
We give him a year.
But year two, we got to be in a bowl game.
I think
that's the bar.
I would imagine he's going to be very pissed if they don't go to a bowl next year.
No doubt.
But
especially with 8 home games.
We'll wait till year two to get really pissed if we don't go to a bowl.
Yes. So I don't know whose turn is it. I mean, you kind of did a personal one.
Well, I've got one for soccer.
Wow. Okay, go.
My resolution for the soccer team is to make sure I don't let Eric watch any single match.
In tournament play.
Particularly in tournament play. And that these gentlemen and their coach, who kind of deserve to win it every year, but have had a bad run of luck lately. My New Year's resolution is for the soccer team to bring home number 9.
Don't we have 9?
We have 8, don't we?
Maybe we have 8. Because Coach Yeagley had 6, then you're right. Then the coach in between got 1, and then Todd got 1. You're right. All right. I'm going to do one for women's basketball. I resolve that recruits, especially athletic guards, realize what Terry Morin is building and has built. And she has gained traction in recruiting, but it has not been gangbusters. And I want her to just hit the jackpot in recruiting. And it's tough because there are some women's programs out there that have a lot of NIL money.
So much, yeah.
And she's competing against that for the best players. And I just hope and resolve that recruits out there realize this is a special program with a fan base that just announced that the Iowa game is sold out for the Big Ten game the other day, Illinois. We had 11,000 people at the arena.
That's incredible.
There just aren't many places where women can play basketball in college and get 10, 11, 12, 17,000 rooting for you. I resolve that recruiting matches the success that Terry has had on the court.
HHNIL.com, people. Come on, you can help that. You can help that. You, the person listening to me say this right now, you can help Coach Morin. She deserves it. They all deserve it.
Got any more?
I feel good about this. I think just sort of a follow-up on your accepting what this team is right now. Yeah. I think a caveat to that is don't look at the Torvik rankings or the net rankings, or the KenPom rankings.
I'm not going to resolve to that. I look at them all the time.
But see, I don't think you can get out of this dark place you're at.
No. Those are two different things. Those are two different things. I am not going to expect us to play a different style than what we are. That's my resolution. I still expect Indiana to win and to go to the tournament. I'm not going to lower my expectations for success. But we have had so much consternation
But the team is 10-3.
Yes.
This is, and like all these things you're resolving to do, I don't think are are magically going to get fixed in the next 40 minutes of basketball we watch here momentarily. And I think you're going to look at Bart Torvik after this game tonight, win or lose, and get really bent out of shape.
Well, look, Bart Torvik is 50% offense, 50% defense. Our defense has been bad this year.
Aren't we like the 87th in both?
It's terrible. But we can be a really good defensive team. We've got a rim-protecting, agile big man. We've got X coming back who's going to be a great defender. Malik can hold his own down low if he doesn't foul. Anthony Walker's a good defensive player. Like, we can be good defensively. Trey Galloway can be a good defensive player. That Bart Torvik rating of 87 should be in the top 40 in the country. It should be. And I think it can be. So if they play well on defense against, let's start tonight. If we hold Nebraska to low points when they're at home, the Bart Torvik defensive rating is going to shoot up. The KenPom rating is going to shoot up.
What is their offensive rating? Do you know?
High.
Nebraska?
Yes. That's why. But that's all the more reason why if we hold them, ours goes up higher. So
if we don't play to our potential defensively.
I'll be upset.
Fair. Yeah. Okay.
And if we don't play to our potential offensively. And I'm not saying that we just may be wrong about the potential being a good three-point shooting team. We may be wrong. That just may not be what this team is built to do.
I don't think anybody thinks that anymore.
Fair. I will also say this. I have one more resolution.
Okay.
Steve Aird and IU Women's Volleyball. NCAA tournament this year.
Let's go. Yes.
It's time.
Again, they earned it in the toughest conference of all time in women's volleyball. And get out there and support them, because no doubt the more yelling and screaming people are doing in Wilkinson, the more likely that's going to happen.
Indiana's about to start.
Ooh.
We'll see if we can hold my New Year's resolution for the next 2 hours. And then we will come back after a brief music interlude here and react to the game.
Should I do the music interlude?
Who else is going
to
do it?
Well, that it would require me to go home and compose a song at like 9:30 tonight.
Compose. All right, let's watch IU. Who?
Jers! That's how that works. Well, we're back.
So, the worst of what we thought might happen happened. We were so positive and upbeat and in a good mood before the game. And, you know, I said this to you, I think, during the Auburn game. The worst part for me, is that, honestly, we weren't that upset at the end of that game because it felt like this was inevitable. We thought, on the road, they shoot a bunch of threes, X's first game back, and the metrics that we've been looking at and studying for the last 2 months said that this would happen. I mean, like, it happened a little worse. They beat us a little worse. I think the metrics said we were going to lose by like 12 points or something like that. And we ended up losing by, I don't know, what we ended up losing by, 16, but really it was a 20-point game. I would say we scored 12 points at the end of that game that were totally meaningless. Trey's two threes, CJ Gunn's last three was ridiculous. I guess that's what bothers me the most, and the toughest thing to get over is just the inevitability of what we just watched, that we were – not wanting it, obviously, but expecting something like that.
Everything we did in the pre-show was bullshit.
No.
It was us putting a happy face and starting the new year on a positive note.
I'm sticking
there. But I drove over here tonight expecting to see exactly what happened, because that is the basketball team we've been watching. That's 10-3, and all 10 of those victories have, well, at least like 9 of them have been squeakers against really bad teams. And the 3 good teams, in 2 cases, we got blown out, And in the other case, we were at home, and we did what we do when we're at home. It's a big-time opponent. We played better than we actually are.
Yeah, dogs are barking.
Dogs are upset about it.
Look, it's even hard to look at some of the statistics. Like, I don't think you can really look at the three-point shooting in this game, except to say that Nebraska was 12 of 32. So they shot about what they normally shoot. They shot the same percentage they normally shoot. They did exactly what they typically do. They weren't lights out on fire.
No, not for the whole first half.
No, I think they hit 8 in the second half, though. So they did. But at the same time, we hit 9. Now, granted, at least 3 of them are total BS.
Totally. The game was decided when those went in.
But Ward, we had 19 turnovers. They had 8. They had 27 points off of our turnovers. We had 6 points off of their turnovers. 27-6, they outscored us in points off of turnovers. Rebounds, we out-rebounded them by 7. But when you turn the ball over 19 times, you're just not going to win a lot of games. Free throws, 13 of 19. We shot 68%. They shot 20 of 26, 77%. But honestly, this is – we talked about this. We know we were 10-3. And yes, we should be happy with having 10 wins and only 3 losses.
10-4.
But the metrics showed us that something like this was on the horizon, that our offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency just weren't good enough. Our 3-point defense isn't good enough. Our defense overall isn't good enough. Look, they scored 86 points. And let's be honest, they could have easily had 90, 95 points if they wanted it. They benched their best player
with 4 minutes to go.
Yeah.
I mean, the frustration, and I mentioned this at Spaces. If we have somebody listening, we'll listen to Spaces. I'm going to bring this back. We had a few beautiful moments at the beginning of that game where we had all our best players on the court at the same time. And we were winning. I don't know if that would have sustained. This team, Nebraska, was going to get their 3-pointers at home. It was going to happen sooner or later. It happened later. But then X has to leave because they got him on some kind of restriction. Mac gets in foul trouble. Malik wasn't really feeling it in the first half. But it's like when you have – just seeing X out there was so exciting because he's big and he's fast. And he knows
how to create.
He knows how to create. But then he's ripped away from us again. It honestly brought the feeling to me of like, oh my gosh, look at Anthony Richardson play. And now he's gone again. And this is not going to be as much fun without this guy on the court. But then when X did come back, we saw some of X's problems, meaning like 3 turnovers in a row. And it's just like, gosh, okay, if we could have all our best players on the court at the same time playing at least their B-plus game, you know, maybe we could have come out with this with a win. But when 2 of our starters are on the bench for the vast majority of the first half, like, we're just not going to win any games. Certainly not on the road. Did you lose a dog? They might poop and eat it. Eric had to interrupt our broadcast because one of his dogs might poop and eat it. All right. He's wrangling Bailey. Bailey is licking her lips, just for the record. this is who we are.
Yeah, look.
14 games in. This is who we are. It's not good.
There's 20 Big Ten games. We've played 3 of them. There's 17 left. So there's a lot of basketball left. However, there are just games on the schedule that you look at and you go, how many opportunities do you have to get some games to pad that win column? And as far as road games go, this was one of them where you circled it and you go, okay, it's Nebraska. Like, they're not world beaters. They're ranked in the 50s and 60s. They're not world beaters. If we can't compete with Nebraska on the road, who's a 50, maybe they're as good as like a 30, top 35 team, top 40 team. But if we can't do that, your mind does go to where do we get the wins from?
Well,
how do we flip what the metrics are saying is going to happen?
Because you said compete. Yeah, we didn't compete, right? Like, Like if we had lost a narrow, hard-fought game that came down to the wire, you could be like, we could still defy the metrics. We're still better than what the numbers are saying. But the numbers are saying this. And the numbers are actually going to get worse after this performance, at least defensively, that it's like, I mean, it's just so hard to find the silver lining that says we're going to be better a month from now.
Well, look, Ohio State is playing really good basketball. They beat Rutgers tonight in a close game, actually.
Barely at home.
Yeah, that's true. And they haven't beaten anybody good, but they are an opportunity for us to get, you know, let's just look up the rankings here.
To clarify, KenPom said in these next 8 games, including tonight, he predicted we'd go 1-7.
Yeah, Ohio State right now in the net is ranked 36th. So that's not a quad one win if we beat them at home, because you got to be top 30 at home. But that's the next game. It's just, look, there was some really nice high-low stuff with Malik and Khalil. I mean, really nice, especially in the second half, those dunks.
But then again, it shows, even when those guys were cooking together, they can't keep pace when a team's hitting their 3-pointers.
Well, I'm not even going to – you're right. But the overall problem with this team is the defense. Because offensively, we know what we are. Like, I mean, look, we went 9 of 18 from 3 tonight, but again – 3 of them were not real. So yeah. I do think Malik is turning into a legit threat from 3, which no one really saw coming. And we all hoped it would happen because we heard that he was working on it. But the guy's hitting multiple 3s in multiple games now. Like, so that's a weapon. But this team should be better defensively. Now, it's X's first game back. He didn't score a point today. Like, he is going to get better. I mean, he's not fully back, not even close. We saw glimpses of it. We did see bad X, too, with 4 turnovers in the first half. He finished with 4 turnovers. He didn't play that much in the second half. But you did see a few possessions where X was playing defense on Tominaga, really bothering him. Yeah. That one guy hit the bank 3 off of X, where X played really good defense for the possession, and the guy just threw up a Hail Mary and made it. But this team is going to have to win on the defensive side, because we're not going to outscore people.
And what our defensive efficiency rating is going to be like 100 now?
Well, in Bart Torvik coming into tonight, this does not, for those of you listening tomorrow, well, actually this might include some of it, because we are ranked 99th in Bart Torvik right now. Defense is ranked 111th and offense is ranked 94th. So I do think that this does include some of the stats from tonight. But yeah, Bart Torvik thought that Nebraska would win by 8.5 points, and they ended up winning by 16. So that's where your efficiencies just get hurt. So we're going to fall. We're going to fall in the net. We're already 102nd in the net. We're going to fall spots. And that's really why I care about the metrics, because the net matters.
And the net takes Torvik as part of it, right?
I don't know if they take Torvik, but they take a statistical ranking. And the truth is, when you look at Torvik or KenPom, they're all about the same. There's not a lot of daylight between them. So, yes, they take in.
Except for Sagarin, where IU still ranked 23rd.
Are they really?
As before this game, the last time I checked, like a day ago, they were ranked 23rd.
And that's why Sagarin isn't used anymore. but it is a math game in some regard, because you're ranked 100, you know, would be ranked somewhere around 108th, 110th, somewhere probably around there, and maybe a little better, 105th. You have to climb that ladder. I mean, to be an at-large bid, you got to get yourself in the top 50, top 55, maybe top 60 if you have big wins. And we don't have big wins. We have 0 quad one wins. We only have 17 games left. There's not a ton of quad one wins on the horizon, it seems. So it just becomes a math problem. Like, how are we going to start climbing the ladder if we can't win games like this? And if we're not even maintaining our position, we're falling. That gets scary. And the proposition of this team missing the NCAA tournament in year 3 of this era is just scary. It's like we never imagined that that would be the case when we were all getting hopped up on goofballs with getting five stars and getting Khalil in the transfer portal. And
the talent is not the problem. The talent is clearly, like, we are not less talented than Nebraska.
I don't know, honestly. I don't know, Ward. I don't know. I mean, I just don't. I mean, some of these guys, Malik clearly has a ton of talent. Khalil clearly has a ton of talent. We don't know what X is. His talent has not been able to be.
We know.
Trey isn't super talented.
But I feel like in terms of X, X is quite talented. We've seen it.
Yes, but just not healthy.
Yeah.
And who cares?
Also, consistency is a big part of it, right?
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Where it's like you can be the most talented team in the world, but if you're going up against a very consistent team that knows exactly what they want to do, you will lose unless you're hot, unless your guys are cooking. And to me, I just, again, without really an identity on either end of the floor.
Yeah, we have no idea.
14 games in with...
Well, we do have an identity on the offensive side. I mean, we do.
Okay.
It is the two big men. I mean, like that, it's Malik and Khalil is our identity.
Yeah.
The problem
is just not enough going on around them for me to feel like it's a system or a scheme.
And they aren't dominant enough together consistently to overpower the rest of the stuff.
Right.
But I mean, you talk about Tominaga is a more impactful player than Treyer X. I mean, he is. The guy can shoot from anywhere. He can heat up. Our guys aren't that.
Yeah.
That Gary guy that they had who didn't have a great game is every bit as good as I don't know who you would compare him to on our team, but McKenzie, he's better than McKenzie.
But I think it's also about what system are you in and where you know your role and it's optimized that like that talent can shine.
Okay, but that's fair. But let me ask you something.
I feel aside from those two big men, you just don't have like anything going on offensively where these other guys know exactly how and when they're going to get their shots.
Okay, but you saw some of the shots that Tominaga made tonight and took, and some of the shots that Wilcher in the first half took, coming off screens and just popping. Who on our team does that? Maybe McKenzie.
Yeah.
Maybe, and not consistently. And it has not been consistent. That's not what he's for. It isn't, I don't think. But we don't have multiple guys. Trey's threes are wide open, coming over a pick where the guy goes under the pick and he's got plenty of time to set himself. Gabe Kupp's baseline three was a great pass from, who was it, Malik, I think, might have been, the cross-court pass to Gabe when he was on the baseline, where he's got 10 minutes to set himself. We don't have the guys, we thought CJ Gunn might be that. He's not. He's not that yet.
And it was nice to see Gabe hit a long two and that three. It's like, okay, good.
Gabe had a good game.
That's in there. It was odd to see Trey take those two really long threes in a row that never had a chance.
Those were bad shots, bad decisions. It's not about how many you make, by the way. Sometimes it's just about when you make them. And we didn't make them when they counted and when they would have impacted the game. Gabe Kupp's had 5 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, no turnovers. That was I know I'm looking for silver linings here, but we didn't lose the game because of Gabe Kupp.
I just feel like we are playing less than the sum of our parts.
I would agree with that if I thought that the individual parts were doing their part. And I don't think they are. I mean, look at free throw shooting, Ward.
Well,
look at free throw shooting.
Yeah,
13th in the Big Ten. You going to blame Woody on that?
I mean,
I don't. Players have to step up and be grown-ups and take accountability for themselves. Trey Galloway shooting in the mid-50s.
Look,
he's a fourth-year senior.
I think any one player or two players or three players, but when your whole team, except for McKenzie, who's shooting 99% from the free throw line,
right?
When it's so systemic, it's like whether it's what's happening in practice or the players you're recruiting to bring into your practice.
Well, that,
like, I'm sorry, in the college game, I think it all lays at the feet of the head coach. Any one performance, or somebody's having a bad stretch of games, or a couple guys are, but to me, it's just like, it's like you look at this and you look at like, oh, we have four or five guys scoring in double figures, and it's the, why are we barely beating bad teams and getting our ass kicked by decent teams?
We are not playing well. I mean, we are not a good basketball team right now. I do agree with you there. And look, you and I have talked about it. College sports are about the coach. If you've got the right coach, things are going to work out ultimately. So I do agree with you there. But free throw shooting, Trey Galloway missing, like you said, he's a 50% shooter on layups. You know, like, and that's what it feels like with Trey.
No, really.
Okay, so
that might be generous at this point.
I don't think that's Woody's fault, man. Look, the guy finished last year. Well,
I'll tell you why it is because Woody's had 3 years to decide who he wants to have on the court for him.
Okay, but when you say Trey's been really inconsistent this year.
Yes.
Really inconsistent. We thought he was going to take a step forward, and he has in some games, and in other games he's taken a step back. And like today's game, I don't think you can get fooled. Trey Galloway had 10 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 3 turnovers. But 6 of those points
were meaningless.
Were meaningless. We had 4 points. That's a terrible game for fourth-year senior starting shooting guard on the road where you expect leadership and performance, and he missed shots at the rim that he should have made. And Trey Galloway is 6'4" and athletic and strong. He can't play as many minutes as he has and have 1 rebound. That's not Woody's fault. I can't blame Woody for that. We have collectively, I understand what you're saying. It falls on the coach. We are not a great constructed roster as it appears right now. But some of that is because some guys weren't what we thought they were.
Well, then that's on the coaching too. Like to me, as a frustrated Indiana fan who is staring into the abyss of season 3 of this regime and saying we're about the 100th best team in the country, where I'm like, there is no way. With everything you have going for you, when you walk in the door at Indiana University, there is no way you should be anything less than a top 25 team going into season 3, barring disastrous injuries. And X hasn't been great, but honestly, we've been playing so many cupcakes while he's been out that we've been able to win most of those games.
Yeah.
So ultimately, at the end of the day, we're looking at about 100th ranked team, 14 games into the season. And to me, it's like, no, I mean, we can break down any individual player and what they're doing or not doing, but the collective whole of how bad this team is right now, there's only one person to blame, and he's being paid millions of dollars. And we're sitting here miserable every time we come to watch these games. I'm tired of doing these podcasts talking about, like, I thought now we are going to finally get into the era of this podcast where it's so fun to talk about the games. We've been treading water, trying to spin gold out of turds all through the Archie era. And now into the Woodson era, it's like, oh my God, are we going through this again?
The KenPom update is, I think we were about 86th in KenPom before this game. We are now 92nd, 106th in defense, 93rd in offense. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to disagree with you about it not being good enough. I don't think
it's not even close to being good enough.
I agree with that. But I don't think you can just blame one person.
I agree.
You can blame just one.
At the end of the day,
he is paid to – the buck stops there.
The buck stops there. Yeah.
And I think Woody would tell you that. Like, I do think Woody would say, like, look, I mean, it's my job to get the guys ready to play. And it's my job to figure out a way to put them in the best situations. And that hasn't happened it has not happened this year in the games that really matter. I would argue one game at Michigan, who, by the way, is terrible. I mean, Michigan is really a terrible team. Let's just see where Michigan ranks right now. Michigan ranks in KenPom. Michigan is 59th in KenPom. I mean, they're not a good team. And in Bart Torvik, Michigan comes in at a stellar 65th. And right. they're not quad one. So, that's not a quad one home win.
So this is a not a good team. A team that would probably be lucky to make it into the tournament.
Who?
Michigan. Okay, and they're like 40 spots ahead of us.
Yeah, by the metrics. I mean, look, they're 6-7 is their record. So It's not good enough. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to just not compete like that. It would be really frustrating if we lost at the buzzer. I mean, come on, we would be going nuts too. But to lay an egg and get blitzed by 20 against Nebraska, and I don't give a shit how good Nebraska is, and they're not that good. They're not that good. They shouldn't be 20 points better than us, and that's what they were tonight. The final score does not indicate how lopsided the game was. It's frustrating. I do think one huge thing that is missing on this team is just real leadership. I mean, we've heard from, say what you want, but from Archie, from Tom Crean, from Mick Cronin, from Michael Lewis, from Woody, from Kenya. Yeah, the best teams are player-led. That is something that every coach will tell them, right? That you have to have a team that they can, in the huddle, look at the players and know who to count on to rally the troops. We do not have them. We do not have anything close to that. Now, again, you could always peel it back and say that's the fault of the coach for not having a guy there, recruiting a guy that can do that.
Season one, I get it. You know, and you're like, well, he was thinking this guy and that guy and this guy by season two or season three would be that guy. Well, whoever he thought it was, isn't.
Yeah, and the scary part is just projecting the future. Because right now, Khalil Ware was awesome. He had a 2010 game, you know, basically. Lots of blocks. Like, he causes problems. He's gone next year.
Yeah.
He's gone next year.
I mean, like, you could not ask for somebody to even come close to filling Trace Jackson Davis's shoes. But he comes about as close as you're going to get as a player showing up.
As a sophomore who didn't even barely play for Oregon.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he does a lot. And he does some things that Trace couldn't do.
Yeah, yeah. No, but then you're also losing Jalen Hood-Schifino, which maybe as a coach you weren't anticipating. Nobody was. Nobody was really thinking that was a one and done.
Well, they certainly were.
But part
they certainly were after summer workouts.
Sure.
They were.
Sure. And so they had
a transfer portal. They had spring recruitments. They knew he was gone.
And ultimately, if you're saying these are my guys who are going to be my leaders next year or the year after that, and you're wrong about that, that's on you too. You need to identify and like nobody's going to hit 100%.
No.
But you've got to be hitting enough on these guys often enough that you're putting out for Indiana University, a team that is always going to get to the tournament and is going like really got like it's gross to be like, oh, we would just love to be a top 25 program again. You know, like we haven't been really a top 40 program for several, you know, if you look at last season, again, with Trace and Jalen, I think we were a top 25 team. We were getting there, but then that's all gone. And there's to your point, Khalil's gone.
McKenzie's going to, I would be shocked if McKenzie's back. And look, he has not been consistent. X is gone.
Like
we do not have the point guard for next year's team. Right now it's Gabe Cupps. You know, it's Gabe Cupps. Now look, they're in on a bunch of guys. But when you're talking about, you know, I said this last year in the offseason, that the thing I worried about the most was last year with Trace and Jalen, it wasn't good enough.
Right.
Right.
We didn't even make it to the Sweet 16.
Right. It was, and we didn't win a Big Ten title, and we didn't compete for a Big Ten title. Now, I know all that matters is the NCAA tournament. I get that, but
no, the Big Ten, it does matter.
Yeah, we want to win Big Ten.
But it
wasn't good enough, and it wasn't close to good enough. It was close, but it was not there. And we were losing the two best guys on the team. So to just stay where we were last year, which wasn't good enough, we had to replace one of the top 10 players in the history of Indiana.
Who's now like going to be in the conversation for like all rookie teams.
Right. And Jalen, who was a first round draft pick. So you have to replace them to stay where you are. And then you have to add to that to get better. And I think what we clearly see is we have not been able to replace the production that Jalen and Trace gave us, clearly.
Like we've not been able to develop the younger guys
not yet, but to
replace, you know, okay, if you're not always going to have a lottery pick, you're not always going to have an all-timer like Trace on your roster or not. Nobody's going to always have that kind of talent on your team.
Unless you're Kansas and you go out and get Hunter Dickinson to be a transfer.
Okay. But then, you know, that's where you need to have depth. That's where you need to be like, okay, we don't have a superstar this year, but we got three stars and a bunch of great role players.
Right. And so to that point, like, but even to do that, to replace Trace and Jalen, is very difficult, right? And we haven't done it. We haven't done it. But that wasn't good enough. So you then need even more talent and better execution to get to where you want to get. And my point is, what's scary is when you start looking at the future and you go, well, shit, Khalil was as good as you could be to replace Trace, and he's gone. And he wasn't good enough.
And like sixth year X is probably about as good as you're going to get to replace Jalen, but he's been hurt a bunch again, and it looks like it's still going to be good X, bad X.
And so you put yourself in a position where you not only have to, at the high school ranks, bat like 750, you know, and bat 750 on top talent that can impact you right away. I'm talking about to be good next year.
Oh, right. Yeah.
To be really good next year. But then you also have to hit a home run in the transfer portal, which, let's be honest, like, that's a crapshoot too. Like, Michael Duer was a transfer. Well, bust.
And look, in this new age of transfer portal, you are going to have some coaches who really excel because one of their strengths is getting a bunch of new guys to mesh right away.
Yeah.
And this is the first time Woody's got like, oh, I got 10 new players, however many new scholarship players, and I need to get them to mesh right away. And we haven't. We just haven't.
Yeah. But let's be honest. It's really three new players, isn't it? Or four. I mean, it's really Khalil, McKenzie, Gabe, Anthony Walker.
Yeah, but those are four of our seven most important players.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, you're right. And it's not good enough. And so when you look at next year, you're like, geez, you lose Khalil. Okay, maybe you can keep Malik, and he continues to progress to being like a 20-point scorer next year, but he can't do it by himself. You have to hit another home run in the transfer portal. You have to hit another home run in recruiting high school kids. But just hitting those home runs, like with McKenzie, who was a top 10 player, we see he's been pretty good. I mean, he's averaging over double digits, but not good enough to get us over the hump. It just becomes so frustrating to think, how do we get there? How do we get there? Without guys like Caleb Banks and CJ Gunn taking giant steps, and neither one has shown that they can take a giant step yet. You know, so that's what is the most frustrating for me, is not even this season, is projecting forward and just thinking about the pressure that is on Woody and this staff. You say you can't hit, you know, no one's going to hit 100 or 1,000. Of course not. But they got to come damn close to be able to leapfrog where we are this year and get past where we were last year.
Well,
it's hard to see that in your head.
And this frustration now of like, I just feel like it came home to roost that, yes, we are one of the teams that escaped losing to one of the bye games.
Right. We don't have a bad loss yet. Even this is not a bad loss.
Yeah. But we've come so close so many times. That's where it was like one or two close calls with the team. We were kind of sleepwalking when we showed up, and then we kicked it into gear. But it's like so many of these games against really, really mediocre opponents have been really competitive until late in the game.
And they've been really informative when we didn't want them to be. Like, it turned out that like those performances seem in the first 14 games to be pretty indicative of what we are. Which is mediocre at home and bad on the road.
But this is like, because you're saying the future is scary and depressing, which I totally agree. But you know, even we,
I think, I'm not going to say depressing yet. I'm going to say scary.
Okay, scary. Then what I will say is absolutely depressing is looking all the way back to about 2017, and like the reality of what this program has been, where. Okay, maybe we would have made the tournament COVID year, but like not comfortably. We won in the Big Ten tournament. It was like, okay, yeah, we're probably going to get in. And then we had to go on a tear in the Big Ten tourney, in Woody's first year to get in.
Yeah, we've had 1 year in 8 years, and I'm going to include this year, where we are safely in the tournament.
And that was like, it was unthinkable growing up to think we wouldn't be in the tournament. Of course we're going to be in the tournament. It's like, how much of a shot at the Final Four do we have? We'll probably get to the Sweet 16. We do a lot. And that where this program is, like, there's no debate. There's no debate. It's you are what your record says you are. And wins and losses, tournament appearances, tournament wins, like, we have been just such a bad program for, like, the lifetime of my son.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
He's 8. Well, no, he's 9. So.
But look, I do think we are getting better talent to Bloomington than in the last 3 years than we did the 4 years prior, with the exception of Trace. Well, Romeo, but Romeo, yeah. But when you think of Khalil, McKenzie, even Tamar, who, by the way, we can have that conversation. Tamar, Jalen, X, that Woody was able to get. You know, obviously Kenya was the chief recruiter there. And X was probably going to come to Indiana no matter who the coach was because of the Kenya relationship. Malik, McKenzie, like, we are getting talent that we didn't even have a chance to get on campus when Archie was the coach.
Yeah.
So I don't want to overlook that, but that isn't what hangs fans. Like, you have to win games and you have to build a team and a program that can win games. It's why it's frustrating when you look at, like, Wisconsin. Can you name a player on Wisconsin?
Sam Decker. Is he gone?
He's gone. He's so gone, he's not even in the NBA anymore. So my point is that they have a system. Now, granted, Greg Gard's been there forever. Matt Painter's been there forever.
Well, and Gard was given the system. He was shown, this is how you run this. This is how you recruit to this.
I agree. But at this point, it's on him. I mean, like, wasn't good, they would not be good.
I agree, but he's not as good as Bo Ryan, and that's why they're not as good as Bo Ryan's teams were.
Yeah, that's fair. Back to your point, and let's go back to overall the identity of the team. McKenzie isn't shooting the three the way we thought. CJ Gunn isn't taking a step forward offensively the way we thought. Trey Galloway is taking a step back in some ways, and we didn't expect that. I can't blame Woody for that. Malik has taken a giant step forward. So, look, you cannot argue this. Malik Renew is light years better than he was last year.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to me, as a guy who was a five-star talent coming in, who got to play every day against Race and Trace and didn't get to develop as much in games because he had to watch those guys from the bench, like, I don't want to say give them less credit for him developing the way he has.
You can.
But it feels, to me, that feels more inevitable. When that guy's that talented and he's going up against other bigs that experienced and talented that he came in with.
But I don't think you can have it both ways. You can't say you're not going to give Woody the credit for Malik, but then blame him for the lack of development of the other guys.
That's fine. That's fair. And I'm fine giving them credit
for Malik's development. Khalil Ware is performing at an all-conference level. The guy couldn't see the court last year with Oregon.
Yes.
And got shit on by everybody. Oh, he can't play. He doesn't want to play hard. Woody has gotten him.
Okay, but because we all know you get these five stars in, you get these big transfers in, and there's a lot of other people watching who are interested because they have a stake in those guys and they have a stake in other guys who might come next year or the year after. And if you don't feed those guys and make sure they get theirs, you're not going to get those guys anymore. Okay. And so are you then just spoon feeding these guys everything they need while you're sort of neglecting the rest of what's going on around them? And it's great. Their stats are great. Their development's great. We have a shitty team right now. We have a shitty team.
Okay. Fair. But I'm going to go back to what I hope we can agree on here.
Maybe.
Look, I mean, Trey has taken a step back. X, we don't know anything about because of the injuries and inconsistency. CJ Gunn has not developed the way we thought he would. He has not taken a step forward. Caleb Banks is wildly inconsistent. Khalil Ware, giant step forward. Malik Renew, giant step forward. None of that should impact the defensive side of the ball. And defensively, we should be able to rely on, we've got three guys in our starting lineup that are 6'8 or taller. We've got strength in Malik down low. We've got Khalil, who's a shot blocker. We've got Trey Galloway, who's been lauded as a good defensive player. And our defense ward is worse statistically than our offense. And we have not been able to stop anybody. Anybody. Army, Florida Gulf Coast, Kennesaw State. No one. We are not Nebraska. We're not stopping anyone. I'm not. Maryland sucks. And Michigan was terrible. But consistently this year, our defense has been terrible. And that's where I still think this team should be able to be better. I don't know how all of a sudden we're going to become better offensively, because I just don't know how that's going to happen. But defense is so much about effort and just locking in and a want to, and we haven't shown that this year.
Well, and the fact that we're playing these mediocre teams and we're lollygagging for 75% of the game, and then when we realize, oh my God, how embarrassing is this going to be to lose this bye game at home? Let's kick it into another gear. Why aren't they starting in that gear? Why aren't they playing the majority of games in that gear and finishing in that gear? I don't know. I don't know. But I don't think it's like a light switch where you can just turn it off and on. I think it's something you have to practice and you have to be consistent in, you know, and
you have to be held accountable.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, we've got the length, we've got the size to play with anybody in the Big Ten. But as we've seen in previous years, you know, and I think not probably just the league, but obviously the whole game is moving towards the perimeter. And that's been our Achilles heel defensively.
All right, let's look at it this way. And then we'll wrap up. We're 2-1 in the Big Ten with one road victory that the stats, metrics, did not think we would win. We were not predicted to win at Michigan. We were not predicted to win tonight, and we did. But right now, out of three games, we've won one game we were supposed to. We've won every game we were supposed to. We've won one game we weren't supposed to. And we've lost a game we were supposed to. Ohio State coming up this next game is a defining moment for this team, because they got to win this game. You cannot, if you start losing home games, there is simply no chance to turn around and have a decent season. No, it's true.
So I mean,
we still don't have that terrible loss. I agree. The metrics and the eye test, this team fails. But wins and losses are what matter. And if we win against Ohio State, who is ranked higher than us, and might turn into a quad one win by the end of the year. We don't know how they're going to perform. But we have to win that game. And right now, we haven't lost a game yet that we shouldn't have. And that is what I think you have to focus on moving forward. Ohio State is another opportunity to prove that we can win games that are in the balance. Because I do think that the metrics say we're supposed to lose that game. But that's a home game against a middling team. I don't care what the metrics say. You cannot lose that game.
Well, they've won four in a row, and they're 12-2. And I don't know who the 12 wins were
against. They haven't beaten anybody.
Yeah, okay. So, and this is what's going to be really interesting in these first few games of the Big Ten is when we start playing each other. And, yeah, I mean, those in the Big Ten who ventured out against good competition like we did in the non-conference have largely been thumped, except for Purdue, which kills me to say. But –
They beat Bama.
Okay.
Well, on a neutral site.
There you go.
They beat Bama.
That's a better win than we have.
Their other best win is they don't have another good win, really.
So look, it is really at this point all about defending home court. Because I've seen nothing to make me think we're gonna go on the road, you know.
Well, except we beat Michigan. So can we go on the road and beat the really bad teams in the conference? Maybe. Maybe. But, Ward, you don't need to win too many of those if you hold court at home. Like, you got to win two.
Yeah, right? So it's like, and holding court at home, and I mean, what, like, Purdue's coming to town.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like we're going to be undefeated at home.
No, but we are right now in conference. I know we've only played one. So, but that's what I'm going to hang my hat on, and I mean, we are ringing the alarm bell, but it's not a five-alarm fire until we start losing home games against teams that aren't the best in the conference. And if we do that, if we lose against Ohio State, it is hard to see where this team goes this season.
I just feel bad that, you know, this is like that people have to listen to this, that we have to say it and they, you know, listen to it. You know,
no one's listening at this point.
I hope not, for their sake.
Tune out.
Because it's just like, I'm hopefully getting it off my chest and we'll go home and not be in a foul mood around my family. But it's just like this dark cloud on the horizon that's coming, right? Like no more bye games, no more St. Mary's of the Poor coming. Like this.
No, it seems like every game could be a loss.
These are all Big Ten games, all of them. And
if Army can almost beat us
at home,
can't Minnesota?
Right.
We're going to find out, and we're going to be there for the Minnesota game. We picked the game on the schedule that we thought was most likely to be a win.
Which means if we lose, the curse narrative will be back in full effect. It's already hovering around because of the IU women's game in Stanford.
Yeah, it's there. It's definitely there.
So if there's one home game, I hope we win. I hope it's that one.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year, Hoosier Nation.
Now you got to do the thing.
And remember to follow us on Twitter X because our handles doesn't have vowels. So it's Hoosier awful. Hysterics.
Awful.
Hoosier's the normal way. Hysterics, no I.
No E.
But sometimes the Y.
It doesn't even rhyme anymore.